almost from the beginning, the race against slowing the spread of the virus included a race to develop a vaccine. It is the only way forward to some new semblance of normal in our lives. So we turn now to someone who jumped into that vaccine race very early on. Dr. Dan Baruch is the director for the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. His lab helped design a vaccine for Johnson & Johnson, which, if approved for emergency use, would be the third such vaccine available in the United States. Dr. Baruch, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So my understanding, doctor, is that this work on the vaccine came almost as soon as you knew about the virus. When did you say, oh, there is something going on here and we're going to need to fight it and start that work?
We started working on this vaccine on January 10th of last year, so just over a year ago. And I remember on that day, we were seeing the news reports coming out of Wuhan, China, and there were a cluster of 41 cases of this mysterious pneumonia and one death. And we found those numbers to be alarming. So just think, in a year, we've gone from 41 cases to over 100 million cases and one death to over 2 million deaths and rapidly rising every day. So it's truly astonishing how a virus can essentially rip through society and change everything we know about the world.
It is astonishing. Those numbers are, as is the idea that 3 weeks before the first case was even diagnosed in Massachusetts, and when our public health community was still saying, you don't have to, you know, it's okay. We don't have to be worried here in the Commonwealth. You were already thinking we've got to get a vaccine out there. How fast did you work? How hard did you work? How did you keep the urgency together? You know, take us back there a little bit.
So on January 10th, we reasoned that we probably would need a vaccine for this pandemic. Although it wasn't a pandemic then, we thought that a vaccine might be needed because there were several worrisome features. It was already identified that the virus was a coronavirus. We knew it was a respiratory virus that had never been seen before, which means that humans would not have any immunity to it. So a respiratory virus that could be transmitted person to person with no immunity in the population is the recipe for a pandemic. Also, we were very concerned from a pandemic perspective that the severity of illness was actually relatively mild. And you might say that that's a good thing. And of course, it's a
right.
good thing. For SARS, it was a much more severe illness where everyone had a fever. Everyone got really sick. And so it was easy to isolate and quarantine. Here, we were faced with a new pathogen that was much more mild. A lot of people only get mildly sick. A lot of people don't get sick at all, but still can transmit the virus as asymptomatic carriers. So we thought it would be much more difficult to control this virus by traditional public health measures. Now, of course, on January 10th of last year, we had no idea that it would do what it did. But we were concerned enough that we started vaccine efforts essentially immediately. And that was the day that the Chinese researchers released the sequence of the virus and basically started much of the world's global vaccine efforts.
And just for our listeners' sake, SARS was another coronavirus, which I'm not sure if you mentioned that earlier. All right, so we are now less than 13 months later. Here we are, Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that was your partner, the production partner, is coming up soon for approval for emergency use in the United States. I know you were listening before the break. You heard us talking with Michael Curry, the CEO of the League of Community Health Centers. He raised a couple of things there. I'm sure you're aware that part of the public conversation among lay people is this difference in efficacy, reported efficacy between the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And I'm sure you heard Michael say that if that's a more accessible vaccine and therefore it goes to community of colors, you could have a new equity challenge in different levels of efficacy. How do you address that, and how can you explain to a layperson this question of difference in efficacy and how that really plays out?
Well, the clinical trials were done differently. So they were not head-to-head clinical trials. And The phase three study with J&J was conducted in multiple regions of the world, including multiple regions of the developing world, such as sub-Saharan Africa and Latin America. It's a different pandemic now than it was a few months ago. So any vaccine tested now would have far lower efficacy than a vaccine tested last fall.
Because of the new variants?
There were no resistant variants. Now, gotcha. We have a much more complicated pandemic. We have a much more complex pandemic where there are partially resistant variants in essentially all areas of the world, including in the United States, particularly in California, and a substantial fraction of the viruses in Brazil, and over 95% of the viruses in South Africa are a particularly worrisome partially resistant variant. And we know that all of those variants are already present in the United States. So it's a very different pandemic now. And it's really not possible to compare efficacy of vaccines tested last fall with vaccines that are tested for efficacy now.
And how is the efficacy of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine affected by these variants?
Substantially. And we think that probably all vaccines will have substantially reduced efficacy against these variants. We saw last week data from two companies, Novavax and J&J, both of which showed a substantial reduction of efficacy against the South Africa or the variant that's coming from South Africa. But overall, the most important efficacy for the J&J vaccine is the demonstration of 85% efficacy against severe disease and 100% efficacy against hospitalizations and death. And that includes clinical protection against the variants. So I think that it's actually probably the first vaccine study that shows high-grade clinical protection against the entire population of worldwide viruses, including the most worrisome variants.
So I just want to put that in lay terms. So are you saying that in the last phase of the trial, there were zero people who were hospitalized or died from any of the virus variants when inoculated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Yes. So in the trial, there were no hospitalizations or deaths in vaccine recipients.
Okay, so this picture that you're painting, it's, I think for all of us, because we're living in it, we're not just reporting on it, we're not just talking about it, we're all living in it. It's this roller coaster where one minute in the middle of the night, I'm like hopeful because I hear those numbers and we've got a vaccine that has been trialed during the variants that have been scaring us. And in another minute, we hear about slow rollouts and, you know, efficacy that is still not at 100%, which is, of course, everyone's dream. In the middle of the night, are you waking up? Or is this a time when you're sleeping well because 13 months of work has led to a vaccine? Where are you in the complexity of this moment?
The efficacy results last week were very, very good. We were very happy with it. To demonstrate high-grade efficacy against severe disease, hospitalizations, and death, which is really what we were trying to avoid, not just in the United States, but in Latin America and sub-Saharan Africa. That's really what we want in a vaccine. But there's a lot of work to do. So I think that this vaccine will likely be part of the armamentarium of interventions. And we hope it'll have a major impact, both in the United States and throughout the world. But there is a tremendous amount of work that remains to be done. First, we have to understand more about these viral variants. We need to vaccinate people more quickly. We have to roll out these vaccines more quickly because now the purpose of vaccination is not only to protect the individual and protect society, but also the faster we can vaccinate the population, the more likely we can prevent the emergence of the next variants for next week and next month and 3 months from now. Because we know that there will likely be more of these variants that emerge, and they could potentially be even more troublesome than the ones we have today.
So you think there are more coming?
It's very important roll out the vaccines even more quickly than before, because we want to try to prevent the emergence of variants that could undermine the entire global vaccine effort.
So are you today, are you exhausted or are you exhilarated?
I think I've been exhausted and exhilarated every day for the past year simultaneously.
And what's exhausting and what's exhilarating?
Well, I think that we have the biggest global health challenge of our times sitting right in front of our eyes right now. And we also have the opportunities to intervene and the opportunities to actually try to end this pandemic is what's exhilarating. And the gravity and the monumental task ahead of us is what's exhausting.
You've been working on vaccines for other pernicious illnesses. Is this the accomplishment of your career, or is there more coming next?
Well, you know, I think I've been so busy, I haven't really had much chance to reflect on things from a perspective like that. But I guess we're very happy with how things have gone. There's going to be a lot more data coming out from this study, and we will look forward to the review by the FDA. And if they approve it, we'll see how it rolls out into the populations. And hopefully it has a major clinical impact, both in our country and throughout the world.
Well, I hope as your days go forward, there's more exhilaration than exhaustion. That's Dr. Dan Baruch, Director of the Center for Virology and Vaccine Research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Dr. Baruch, thanks. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.